It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you for listening. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have purpose. Step into this time. We are at a historical time, very interesting times. As the old Chinese proverb says, may you live in interesting times. Well, you certainly got your wish on that one. But lots to do. And thank you to this team I work with as well, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Wednesday. The camel, you gave the camel the day off, huh? Hump day?
Like I told you before, he comes in here sometimes with a real attitude, and I just wasn't up for it today.
Well, you know, it's important that a good attitude is very important, and it's also important for all those around them as well. So, you know, if he's not having it today, you know, I think that's good. Go ahead and let him take the day off for sure. So be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. All of the recaps and the podcasts are there. We have been a little behind on getting all of those up. We're getting very close to being caught up on all of those. And so be sure and check that out. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll see, get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And thank you for all of you who support us as well. We are an independent voice. And you can email me. And once again, the big disclaimer, I am behind on emails because there has just been, there's a lot going on with this whole election thing. And so I will be catching up, I hope, on that this weekend. But please do not take it personally. That's my disclaimer, Steve.
Yeah. And Christmas is coming. So I wish you well.
Well, there's just an awful lot going on out there. The ballots are going to probably arrive here within the next few days. And so we're working diligently on a variety of things. We'll have the voter's guide done for you, and we'll roll that that out in the newsletter this weekend. And that is, nobody pays us to do it. We take a look at it as how do these different questions match up regarding the vision of the Declaration of Independence, that all of us are created equal. We should be treated that way under the law. And government should be limited so that we can pursue our life, our liberty, and our happiness. And how do these things match up with the Constitution? Are they good for everyday people? And that's the lens that we use. How does it work out for we the people? And that is, and we hope it's an important tool. You may not agree with us, and that's okay as well. But we hope it's an important tool as you fill out your ballot.
Gee, if we could only get the members of Congress to look through that lens.
Wouldn't that be a great, great idea? We've got a jam-packed show planned for you today. We're going to be talking with Casper Stockham. He had mentioned the Republican platform, and one of our listeners said, well, what is that exactly? And so I asked Casper to bite that off. I looked it up yesterday. It's 67 pages long, which is much longer than the Declaration and the Constitution, but a lot shorter than that omnibus bill. Or that reconciliation bill that they have coming down the pike here. But anyway, we'll talk with Casper about that. Lauren Levy, want to find out what he thinks about this whole massive spending bill as well. And then Jay Davidson, CEO and founder of First American State Bank, is our guest in segments 3 and 4. And he always is just a wealth of knowledge. So you will not want to miss that. Let's jump over here, though. Steve, as we look at the ballot that's going to be arriving in our mailboxes here very soon, all kinds of tax questions there. And have to understand, there's really only one way to really increase tax revenues and have a healthy economy. And that is that you keep tax revenues, or you keep taxes low, so that more and more people are working, are creating businesses. And then because that is growing, that just automatically increases tax revenues. Once you start to tax people's entrepreneurship and their creativity, What happens is that starts to tap that down. Of course, all these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties think that economics are static, that if you have this pie right now, and that's what people are paying taxes on, if you increase the tax rates, then government is just going to receive that much more money. It doesn't work that way. People have to make different choices then as those tax rates go up. They may choose to shop or go someplace where the taxes are lower. And so it's amazing to me that politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, those PBIs, do not understand that. But they clearly do not understand that in Congress, Steve.
Well, I tend to watch it now since I've been doing this show with you, is that it seems like their tunnel vision is, no matter what level, federal, state, local, that they are the only taxing authority in people's lives. And they know, if they were pressed, they know that that's not true, but yet their actions still go that way.
Well, and that's such a good point. And that is when they want to increase taxes, they just have that tunnel vision that they are the only entity. But then what we see, though, is those different taxing authorities that all they'll come together. For example, that almost $7 million pedestrian bridge down in Lone Tree is the city of Lone Tree put together some different funding sources. There was the city of Lone Tree, Douglas County, Park Meadows Metropolitan District, South Suburban, I think, put some money in it. But then you look at it and it's like, well, wait, I pay taxes to all of them. So all that the money just came out of my pocket. But yet it's kind of a bait and switch, if you will. But let's go to our quote for today. And that is Ronald Reagan. He was an American politician. He was our 40th president, and he was a member of the Republican Party. He was the 33rd governor of California. He was a Hollywood actor and a union leader. He was born in 1911. He died in 2004. And this really says it. It says, you can't be for big government, big taxes, and big bureaucracy, and still be for the little guy.
Amen.
And that pretty well nails it. So Casper Stockham is on the line with us, and he is one of the founders of America First Republicans. Do I have that right, Casper? I've got it written down here.
You have it right, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that is AmericaFirstRepublicans.us is the website. And he is putting together candidate training for people that want to run for office or maybe help somebody run for office. And it's been a really successful program. You just started it this year, correct, Casper?
Yep. The first of the year, so we've trained about 50. We have another 10 in class right now, so we'll be 60 here in a couple of weeks.
And so the class is closed now, or is there still time to jump into this class?
It's pretty much closed because once they start, you know, it's a if you miss the several sessions, you're too far behind, you know, so you have to wait until the next class. But we'll have another one coming up.
Okay. Well, when you were on a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned something about the Republican platform. And one of our listeners reached out and said, what is the Republican platform? So I looked, I thought, well, I'll just read it as well. It's 67 pages long. Tell us what is the Republican platform? We probably do all need to read that. We probably need to read the Democrat platform, too.
Exactly. You know, when I ran for office in 2000, I ran for the 2016 election, but I started in 2015. I actually went and looked at the Republican platform, the Democrat platform, and the Libertarian platform because I wanted to compare all three. And and the Republican platform was the one that came closest to my beliefs, so that's the one that I chose, and I ran as a Republican. And it's an awesome platform. The problem is, nobody follows it. it's like if they followed it, we'd have some fighters on our hands. I mean, just the preamble alone sets us up for a great country if we have people following just the preamble. You know, it talks about this platform. We the Republicans reaffirm the principles that unite us in common purpose. We believe in American exceptionalism. Well, how many Republicans you ever heard talk about that lately?
Right.
We believe the United States of America is unlike any other nation on earth. Well, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. If we don't act that way, You know, we believe America is exceptional because of our historic role first as refuge. And see, I think we missed that point. When we see things happening at the border, the first thing Republicans want to do is shut everything down instead of coming up with solutions for what's happening at the border. Now, a border wall, yes, but there are common sense things we should be doing to improve the immigration process so that we don't have those kind of things happening, and we're not doing that either. And that's a, you know, that's a huge problem. And then we need to defend, as a defender, and now as exemplary for liberty of the world to see. Again, just a preamble alone, if they followed that, you forget about, you're right, it's 60-something pages, but just a preamble, if they just followed the preamble, we'd be good.
Well, and really, I mean, it should be smaller government, standing up for life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And I do need to do some homework on this. And as I looked at it yesterday, I just did not have the time because we're working on this voter's guide. And then also on this fighting this LEAP initiative, which is that quote unquote new marijuana tax for the kids. You know how that works out. There is one thing, though, it says, I see this, it says, we dedicate this platform in admiration and gratitude to all who stand strong in the face of danger so that the American people may be protected against it, the men and women of our military, our law enforcement, and the first responders of every community in our land, and to their families. I mean, right. That's a big difference from the Democrats right there. But I think what we should do is I need to do my homework on this. And we may have to wait a few weeks to really unearth this, but maybe we should just dedicate a couple of segments to the show on this and have you on, Casper, to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that, you know, but I, this, the Republican Party platform, if we have Republicans following it, because every elected official, Democrat or Republican, they take an oath when they, you know, get sworn in to defend the Constitution, and none of them really do it. You know, they do everything to avoid the Constitution, to get around it, to destroy it, and everything else. And we really don't have many champions defending our rights, liberties, and pursuit of happiness like they should. And definitely, Republican elected officials should be doing that right now. And one of the big things they always complain about is, well, we're not in charge. Well, let me ask you a question. When the Democrats are not in charge, they are still in your face all mm-hmm. the time. They're always doing stuff to push back on whatever the Republicans are doing. So I don't see that happening. Just the other day, the Merrick Garland, whatever his position is.
Right, Attorney General.
He's literally turning the FBI on citizens just because they show up at school board meetings. Now, I've heard some Republicans speak out about it, but they're not doing anything about it. They're just speaking out saying, oh, you know, how dare he? No, not how dare he. He will not.
Right.
He will not. You know, they should be in front of the Capitol, in front of whatever, saying he will not. That was unlawful. He will not do it. We will not allow him to do it. I don't hear them saying that. I just hear them saying,
they should be showing up at those school board meetings standing up against this.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, well, Casper, hey, we're out of time on this, but it is great that you are working to train candidates that will protect the Constitution. And again, what is that website?
The website is America First. Republicans.us. America First Republicans.us.
Casper, thank you so much for the work that you're doing on this, and we'll have you on again very soon.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got a couple of headlines that we want to chat about as well. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. And I want to give a shout out to one of my great sponsors, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They sponsor both the shows, the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. They have five locations. That is Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Today is Wings Day, which is Wednesday, and you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free, and that's valid for to-go or to dine in. And I particularly like their smoked wings. They're half the calories, and they have all kinds of different rubs and sauces that you can put on those. So be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. Click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of those sponsors there. Click on the Hooters tab, and you'll find all their specials there. As you know, my friends, we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do this. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And producer Steve, we have seen this from the initial 2 weeks to flatten the curve to if you don't take the jab, you don't get to work. And it's tyranny. It's actually becoming so tyrannical. But as people are standing up and holding the line, as Leslie Manoukian had recommended just recently, I found this one headline here about, let's see, I think it's the first one, perhaps. Yeah, this is from the Colorado Sun. It says, Colorado officials may weaken coronavirus vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. And here we have this little hospital out in Holyoke. We talk about how important our rural hospitals are. And they're going to basically fire three people, or the people are going to quit because they don't want to get the jab. And just think what that does to a little hospital in a rural community and the care for the community is to lose these people. And so in this weakening of these mandates that has come down from the tyrannical government, it looks like they are possibly not going to quit or lose their jobs. But again, standing strong, I think, is important, and it's a delicate balance. But as people are standing up and holding the line, I think this is the way to fight back on this tyranny, Steve.
Well, I'm putting my... Put yourself in the place of that public official in the Holyoke situation that's saying, you're going to make sure that these three people are out of here to invoke your concern for the public. All right, when that hospital becomes incapacitated for lack of staff, what have you really done?
What have you really done? Do you really care about people? Are you really, really caring about their health? And Steve, I cannot tell you how many people I have talked to that know somebody that they, a relative or a friend that has come down with COVID. And so my next question, typically I don't think it's any of my business, but I'll say, have they been vaccinated? And so far, every one of them have been. I find that absolutely interesting.
Well, I don't know what to make of it anymore. This morning on the show before ours, the doctor that they have on from the Cleveland Clinic was trying to explain this in terms of the impact of the vaccine on the individual. And he was all over the map. He really wasn't making a whole lot of sense in terms of why this is so important that you have it. And, what did we that discussion you and I had a couple months back about eradicate versus eliminate? And, this guy for... This particular doctor from the Cleveland Clinic, who has, he knows his stuff, and he's been very informative up until the vaccine hit. And then all of a sudden, he's not making a whole lot of sense, at least not to me.
Well, and the thing about it is, Steve, is to my knowledge, they've not really done any studies, any control studies. You would think that as they were doing these studies, you would have a control group of non-vaccinated, you'd have another group of vaccinated, and you would, from a scientific standpoint, you would want to see how that all correlates. And here, instead, we've got all this, these mandates, and if you don't do this, you can't travel, and if you don't get it, you can't go out to eat in Los Angeles or in New York, or you can't work. And there's just something isn't quite right.
Well, you just happen to use California as an example, unless you're the governor.
Unless you're the governor. And then you can go to a restaurant, sit next to each other, and not have masks on. And so the thing about it is, it's either not as deadly as they say, it's not true, or both. Because if it was as deadly as they say, then they would not even be risking themselves to do this. Well, so this is all about control and tyranny.
Think about how our vocabularies have been increased. We didn't really toss around the word comorbidity before, we as average public people. Certainly the medical profession knows that term, but now that we know it too, is it as deadly as they say, or is it an issue about comorbidities and certain people need to be careful?
Certain people do need to be careful. And I, you know, all the good things that you should do to take care of yourself, wash your hands. I haven't heard anybody for quite some time now, though, saying that you need to wash your hands with soap while you sing Happy Birthday to yourself. Remember, they wanted you to wash your hands for a certain amount of time. Haven't heard that one for a while, have you?
No, and I stopped having birthdays, so
So do you have clean hands or not?
Well, no, it's irrelevant.
Hey, there's two other things I wanted to talk about, Steve. And the first one is regarding this whole Facebook whistleblower. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, and I had mentioned that I thought it was curious that she was on 60 Minutes, quote unquote, blowing the whistle on Facebook. Of course, Facebook then went down for 6 hours. It seems like we've got probably really some smoke and mirrors going on here as we've had 24 hours to look at it, Steve.
Well, I think you suggested even yesterday that you were dubious. Was this legit? And sure enough, this person gets put under the microscope immediately, and all of a sudden we find out all kinds of interesting things about her that you didn't know Sunday night. And I'm thinking, hey, if you want to draw people's attention to this, what better advertising than is there to put her on 60 Minutes on a Sunday night? And, you know, could you see that CBS was willing to make it happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Something just doesn't quite match up with this. So we have to ask, what is the end game here? And I haven't quite connected the dot, but I think they want to get their hands on the internet. Back in the Obama administration, and now I can't remember if it was through the FCC or the FTC, but there was this move to have government regulation of the internet, and people are like, the internet has done just fine since Al Gore had invented it. And did you get that snarky one? But had done just fine being free. And so I'm concerned because that is the place where the grassroots, that is the place still where we get all of these different podcasts and all of these different publications. And so I'm concerned that maybe this is the beginning of a run towards that, Steve.
Well, pair this issue up, what you just said regarding the internet and control or not to control, with the more recent thing with the Attorney General sicking the FBI on people who, you know, speak their mind at a school board meeting. What's the common ground is the fact that they have identified places where they're losing control and they need to step in to take control.
And that is why holding the line and being just holding the line and searching for truth, as we do on this show, and standing up against this force is so, so important. I think that they have, as Josh Phillips said yesterday, there's a very delicate balance that's going on. Maybe not even a balance. It's very delicate, this hold that they have. And this is the time, my friends, this is the time that we have to stand up and hold the line against this tyranny. And you can even see these three people out here in Holyoke. Good for them, because we're seeing a start to back down on that. And Brenda Bach, you know, the coroner out there in Grand Lake, who has continued to try to get the correct reporting. Here they're making all these decisions, and we know that the data is dirty. And so how on earth can you use data that isn't clean to shut down the economy as they did, or now force people to do something? It just doesn't make sense. So people need to hold the line, Steve.
Well, like I say, the clock is running, and we're, what, 1 year and a couple weeks away from the midterms. Their agenda is rather caustic, but yet they keep on charging forward. And the more they charge forward, the more people are waking up. It's like, wait a minute, this is not the country I want to live in. So you're wondering, are they going to pull back the reins and realize what's going to happen to them next year in the midterms? Or are they just going to keep right on charging?
I think that they're going to keep right on charging, and that is why we have to
I almost hope they do.
Yeah, well, that's why we have to remain strong. But then once humor comes into this thing, and once people start to make fun of what is happening, and this whole thing with this Let's Go Brandon, this race car driver, and it's become code words for something Biden, once humor starts to get into this, it means that they're losing their grip, Steve.
Well, you're referring to the event that happened at the Talladega Speedway in Alabama, a recent NASCAR race, and the interviewer was interviewing Brandon Brown. And there was a group of spectators close by. They knew the mic was open, and they had an opportunity. So they started that chant that's not very flattering. And she tried to make it sound like, oh, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. So, you know, entrepreneurs all over the country in a race to make T-shirts, and we'll all be walking around with let's go, Brandon, and we'll all be talking in code.
And Attorney General Garland will probably be after all of us on that one. So, Steve, great conversation. Let's go to break, because Jay Davidson is our guest in segments 3 and 4, and you will not want to miss what he has to say. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I so appreciate all of you who support us. And I have really great sponsors. And one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. Whether or not you are a chef or a collector, a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Throughout the month of October, they are offering 20% off of knife sharpening if you make your living with your knife. So a butcher or somebody like that, you will get a discount on that. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. Another great sponsor of the show is First American State Bank, and Jay Davidson is the CEO and founder. It's a community bank right here in the metro area, valued partners. And Jay Davidson, it's always great to have you again as a guest on the show.
Kim, it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you so much.
Jay, so much is happening in our world right now. There's this $3.5 trillion massive spending bill out there that fortunately people are starting to kind of put their heels in. My concern is that they're going to, quote unquote, compromise at something, another spending bill with the word trillion in it. And we're going, oh, well, we dodged a bullet. I'd say we shouldn't do anything like that. But I am hearing terrible, onerous things that are being proposed in this bill, and one of those is regarding banking. Are you hearing anything about that?
I'm very familiar with it and very much against it. The bill has language in it that we banks are to report any transaction over $600 in aggregate per month to the IRS. Now, I can't understand why they would put that extreme burden on us to report these things, but you know, the burden is irrelevant. The real issue is privacy and every individual's right to his own privacy and his own ownership. And they're totally beginning the negation of the right to ownership of property in this act, because the next step is going to be confiscation.
I have had conversations with people about that as well, and it's why would they want to know all that? Jay, as I've been thinking about the usurpations that the Patriots put into the Declaration of Independence, and then also going into the Constitution with our Bill of Rights, and that is that we're to be secure in our effects and our papers. And this is such an overreach. It's beyond belief. And once again, they'll pick winners and losers. They'll pick people that they want to confiscate or go after and those that they won't. And it's beyond belief that this is even a piece of legislation here in the United States of America.
Well, let's see now. The EPA has just sent an edict out that you can't go to work unless you have a vaccine. The CDC has decided to stop landlords from foreclosing people out of their property. This is what we've all been warning everybody about for decades. The objective of the left is to use government bureaucracies to control our lives. And they're doing it. It's now obvious. This piece of legislation is one of the most blatant examples of it. It's unconscionable. It's absolutely anti-constitutional, and it should not be allowed to stand. But the biggest issue here is the issue of the right to ownership of private property, the individual right to ownership of private property. That's one of the inalienable rights originally written into the Declaration of Independence. They later changed it to pursuit of happiness, but the original part was ownership of property. Well, you have a right to the ownership of your checking account in a bank. The bank has no right to give that information to the government, period. And no law that the government wants to pass, if this were to pass, makes it legal. It doesn't make it constitutional. It's still illegal because in its essence and in its soul, it is an illegal act.
When a government does illegal acts like this, and this is just one thing from what I've heard about this, is the banking industry preparing to fight back on this? I mean, ideally, we don't want to pass this, but we know that they're going to continue. They're continuing to go after private property rights. And at least now the veil is off. What they're really trying to do, is the banking industry preparing to do anything to fight this?
Banking industry already has started the process of fighting this. The American Bankers Association, which is the national arm, and then the Colorado Bankers Association, which is our entity, is ABA and CBA, have both written extensive articles against this bill and have asked all bankers to get involved in telling our congressmen that we want nothing to do with it.
Are you getting any response, to your knowledge?
Not yet. It's brand new. The notice went out last week.
Okay.
We'll get response. I mean, that's ABA is a pretty strong lobbyist group at the nation's capital, and CBA is highly respected by the Colorado legislature, both Democrat and Republican.
Okay. Okay. Well, that is good to know. But we are in the fight of our lives for private property rights. And when I started to see the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and everything that they're trying to do, and he said by 2030 that people will own nothing and they'll be happy about it, that seemed a couple of years ago like, that's not possible. But what we're seeing now, Jay, and this is the game plan, it's through excessive taxation. Inflation is two ways to chip away at people's private property. And we're seeing those are the policies that are being put forward both on the national level and then also here in Colorado, Jay.
The methodology is the same, always has been the same. The communists have been hard at work in America for over 100 years. I think President Woodrow Wilson in 1913 was probably one of the greatest communists of our time. He kept it hidden, but his acts were highly communistic. And what by communistic, I mean the communism takes the means of production and the fruits of production to their own state, to the control of the state. And that's what this objective is. This is pure communism. It's not even, you know, halfway socialism, halfway to communism, socialism. It's all and out communism. And why people can't wake up to this fact is beyond me, but here it is. I don't know. Did I address your question, Kim? I'm not sure I did.
Yeah, I think so. And Jay, one of the conversations that we had had several times ago was regarding inflation. And one of the things I talk about, the way to take people's property is through government-induced inflation. It was really you who made me think about inflation. You said there's two kinds of inflation. There's a good inflation, and then what we have now, and that is government-induced inflation, which then could cause stagflation. But for those of us that may have missed that show, please explain that to us again.
Well, good inflation is all relative. Anything in economics is relative, honestly. But if inflation stems from the supplier of the good, the manufacturer or the provider of the commodity, the business, producing an item that is desirable, and the buyer of that commodity or service or whatever, the consumer, says, I want more of that. So they start buying it up, and the supply of that product dwindles to the point where the producer of the product increases prices. Now, that's capitalistic inflation. That's what happens. Prices go up based on demand. But the one point that's so critical here that everybody misses is that the consumer is the ultimate deciding factor in whether that product is valuable or not. And that's the whole issue of freedom of choice and individual freedom. The other type of inflation is generated by the government's excesses. In this case, I'll use a term that's kind of nerdy, but it's very accurate. It's called quantitative easing, or QE. Back in 2008-09, so Obama's Federal Reserve and Treasury Department got together and decided that the Fed Reserve would print a whole bunch of U.S. dollars. And over the intervening 10 or 12 years, they printed over $8.5 trillion U.S. dollars, unbacked by any gold standard or any modus of determining value. They've simply printed $8.5 trillion with a T, U.S. dollars. Now, that's when you print more of something, of a dollar bill, each dollar bill resulting from that in aggregate becomes less valuable. And that's government-induced or government-interfered inflation. Or actually, the other side of the coin, same coin as inflation, is deflation, devaluation. Because each dollar that has been printed devalues the existing dollar by that fraction. So $8.5 trillion of new money sitting out in the economy is going to cause a devaluation of the U.S. dollar. And that absolutely creates inflation because you have to spend more dollars to get the same product because each individual dollar is worth less.
So then what we hear is people will say, those that are on a fixed income, that this really hurts them, which it does. But
it does.
But elections have consequences. And what I can just see this now, this whole conversation out there that we have to increase Social Security benefits and all these different benefits because the dollar is being devalued. But I think we really need to go to what the heart of it is, and that is government policy. That's what has to change.
Well, you're 100% right. And that's what we would call the fiscal policy, which is determined by the predominantly by Congress, and with input from the president. But fiscal policy has to do with taxing, regulation, and general government interference in the economy, or lack of interference in the economy. An example, Trump's presidency is extremely volatile. He's a guy you love to hate, even though I voted for him. But, he was a peculiar individual, to say the least. Having said that, Trump actually did some very good things for us, and we're still in the honeymoon phase of it. It's going to fade soon, but he reduced taxes substantially, and we had an incredible growth in economic activity and an incredible increase in people's income, incredible reduction in the jobless claims and so on and so forth. It was the perfect fiscal policy of lower taxes, less regulation, and more individual freedom to choose. And it just blew the economy out of the water from the doldrums that were in the economy since Obama and during his entire term. Trump, in very short order, blew us through that.
Well, and we could do that again. The one thing that was missing in that pillar that you'd mentioned, and that was reducing spending. And boy, I tell you, politicians and bureaucrats, they don't want to do that. But Jay Davidson, let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Jay Davidson. He is the CEO and president of First American State Bank. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We've got another great sponsor that has just joined us, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they are located right here in the metro area. And there's this, they're specialists in Medicare insurance. And each individual is unique, different, has different needs, different budgets. And they work with a whole bunch of different companies to tailor your program, your insurance coverage just for you. So check out iKirsch, that's KIRSCH.com, iKirsch.com, and that period right now for open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th, so would highly recommend that you reach out to them. Again, that's iKirsch.com. Another great sponsor of the show is First American State Bank, and Jay Davidson is a frequent guest, and we always learn a lot when Jay Davidson is on the show. Jay, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim. I'm honored to be here.
Okay, taxes. The ballots are going to be coming out very soon in our mailboxes. And there's a whole bunch of different tax questions on municipal levels. And there's a big one in my hometown, which they actually are asking to increase the sales tax by 55%. So obviously, I do not think that is a great idea. But I've thought a lot about taxes. And there's the Kinsey and Paul Krugman mode of debt and taxes, and that's how to keep the economy going, and that's what you really see the radical progressive activists, those that want to, those politicians and bureaucrats that just think they're going to get more and more money with higher and higher taxes, but they don't. Actually, what happens is people are economic actors, and they make different choices. Correct, Jay?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Keynes certainly has a lot of adherence, and he has some good ideas, but the Krugman-articulated form of Keynesian economics is diametrically opposed to reality. He actually, in that situation, Keynesian economics suggests that $1 of government spending equals some additional factor of value in the economy. Like, you know, $1 equals $1.2 in the economy because of the multiplying effect. The fact of the matter is, and the anomaly here that blows my mind, and the obvious answer to that is the government doesn't make money. The government doesn't create profits. Now, it prints dollars. That's a whole other topic from this, but it doesn't make money. The government has two sources of revenue, of income. It's not from producing any value, in my opinion, or limited value. It's from taxation or debt. And by the way, debt is an additional tax. You just take a lot longer to pay off, but you're going to pay it off and your kids are. So it's all taxes. It's all a reduction in the individual's take-home pay. And so when the government increases in size, increases taxes, it decreases the amount of money that's left in the private economy. And keep in mind very clearly the difference between a private economy and a public economy or government-based economy. The communist countries are public or government-based economies. They're false economies. Now, you can argue with me that China is the greatest capitalistic country in the world. Honestly, I'd agree with you. The Chinese government, which is the most communist government, totalitarian government in the world today, has created a bubble that allows capitalism to thrive inside that bubble. But you're starting to see the lifetime premiere of China stepping on some of the individuals that have done very well in that capitalistic bubble. And that is why I say that the Chinese capitalistic system, which honestly is more capitalistic today and more free today than America's capitalism is, the Chinese system is going to collapse of its own weight. The American system is based on people like you and me taking control of our lives and making decisions for ourselves, regardless of what the government does. And the one power that we have is the right to vote people in or out. And I would suggest that we start exercising it much more intelligently. I hate to say this, and it goes against my other argument, but it's not R or D or I or L, libertarian. It's, does this person that I'm going to give money to, that I'm going to support, understand the negative impact of higher taxation and higher government spending? They go hand in hand. And you can't talk about one without the other. So the two issues that are so important to us are we want lower taxation and we want less government spending and therefore less government.
Well, Jay, the one other thing to mention, though, is you talked about Trump and that particular economy, more people back to work. So more people are paying payroll taxes, more people are paying taxes. But if you increase this pie, so put more people back to work and they're making more money, people were making real money, more money, so bigger pie. And even if you had the same tax rate, bigger pie, more people working, more people thriving and flourishing, tax revenues actually go up. And we need to be electing people that understand that.
You're so right. And that is a fact. The libs, the left, actually not libs, left denies it all the time, but that is a fact. And we can see it in the government revenue from the tax reduction that Trump instituted. But you're 100% right. And here's what the libs or the Dems will do, the the left. They'll say, okay, I'm going to increase taxes by 5%. And, you know, we have an economy that's X trillions of dollars. So it's 5% of X trillion. That's going to be my income. Well, it's not. Because when you tax something, as an individual consumer, I'm going to decide not to buy it or spend on it or build it or, you know, invest capital money into it. And I'm going to decrease that part of the economy that you're taxing so heavily. So what the Keynesians and Krugman and these people miss is that, gee, there might be a little bit of intelligence out there among these people that are making this money. And there is, believe it or not.
Well, you just think about the American consumer liking to looking for things on sale. People are economic actors,
yep.
And they determine what value there is to them. So it may be that some, say, one woman, you know, it's her mission on Saturdays to go out and find different sale items, and that's what she's going to do. She's the rational economic actor. She does that. Another woman might say, gosh, I'm busy with my kids or my job or whatever, and I'm willing to pay for some convenience. But people make those decisions all the time. And what the problem is with the radical activist elitist, and we've got them on both sides of the aisle, Jay, is that they think that everyday people are dumb and they can't figure it out.
Yeah, it must be. I don't know what they think. But, yeah, big government Republicans and big government Democrats are the same. They're the enemy. You know, I don't understand, and there's a lot of people out there that like it, but big government, you want more government? I mean, with government comes control. With government, you lose freedom. It's a zero-sum game. If there's a more powerful government, you have less freedom. You are going to have to do what the government edicts. Think about that before you pass any kind of law. Or allow some politician to pass some kind of law.
Well, and Jay, as we are looking at, again, there's many tax questions that are on the ballots across Colorado. And I cannot think of, there may be a tax question out there I might say yes on, but I can't think of one right now. And I wanted to move over to property rights just a little bit. I've thought a lot about this, how taxation actually could start to price people out of their homes. And again, we're talking about inflation. All of these dollars coming in, we're seeing in Colorado the value of people's homes go up. Oh, great. That's awesome, we think. But part of it's because of government-induced inflation. But yet, then there's property taxes. Your assessed valuation goes up. You pay more taxes. And all of a sudden, you could have people that are getting priced out of their homes because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a rural areas up in North Dakota, Montana. We had a lot of family farms and ranches up there. And these individuals were asset rich. I mean, they were millionaires in assets, but their cash flow was pathetic. I mean, if they had a bad crop or bad weather, you know, they didn't have cash flow. So that's kind of like what we're talking about here. If you allow the government to, you know, nitpick you into a little bit of tax here and a little bit of tax there, well, people, think about all the taxes that are out there. I can't begin to list every tax that you as an individual pay, but it's like 20 or 30 of them at least. And the obvious ones are the federal and then the state and then the regional. And then, you know, like Centennial is going to do this 55% increase.
Or Lone Tree. Lone Tree is what they're proposing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, add all these taxes up. 50% of what you make is going to the government or more. In the case of a high net worth individual, it's probably higher, believe it or not.
I know.
And what are you getting? I mean, really, stop and think. What are you getting when you say something like, oh, well, there's a problem. Let's have the government solve it. Well, what you just said was, I'm going to spend more of my money to create a government bureaucracy that doesn't work, that is totally inefficient, that is incapable of solving that problem, and I'm okay with that because it makes me feel good. But this is what these lefties are doing all the time, these social justice warriors are doing. Now, I just cannot comprehend that.
Well, and I think that the real positive thing is the veil is coming off all this. We're having these honest conversations about it. This $3.5 trillion massive spending bill has all the stuff that they want to do to the American people. It's important for us to shed light on that. Jay Davidson, we are out of time. Always love having you on the show. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Just a real brief thing. This $3.5 trillion is actually $5 trillion. Because they've already bifurcated off the so-called infrastructure bill and supposedly passed the $1.5 trillion. So whatever the number is for this latest bill, add $1.5 trillion onto it. Folks, that money is coming out of your pocket, either through taxes or debt. Do you really want that to happen? Do you really believe, and has the government ever demonstrated to you its capability of doing anything properly? Now, the exception to that is going to be our military and our State Department protecting our borders and the infrastructure side of the House, the Intrastate Commerce Commission. But besides that, they don't do very well, folks. Why do you not go to the post office to send all your mail? Why do you go to UPS and American Express? Think about it, please.
Well, and that is for sure. And if the government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller. And in America, the idea is that the individual is big and the government is small. Jay Davidson, First American State Bank, it is always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Kim. Keep up the good work. You're doing wonderful.
Thanks, Jay. And our quote for today is from Ronald Reagan. He said, "Government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell